Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
Throughout this series, throughout this book, we've been asking one central question, a question that is not just words on a screen, something you look at on Sunday, but something I'm hoping that throughout your week, in everyday life, in every decision that you make, in every conversation that you have, what is running in the back of your mind is this simple question. Is Christ truly above all in my thinking, in my living, and in my following? I mean, this is what people notice about us. The moment you meet somebody and you get to talking about them, they can tell very quickly what is the most important in your life. And shouldn't we, if you're a Christ follower, if you're someone in here that has accepted Christ as your Savior, shouldn't He be at the forefront of all that we say, all that we do, all that we think about, and certainly who we're following? Paul, in writing to the letter of Colossians, he is addressing this with a group of people who were being led astray subtly and really kind of drifting away. They were saying you need to add to Christ, and Paul's message throughout has been that Christ is supreme and that He is enough, that He is our full salvation. You don't have to add anything to Him. And then here in chapters 3 and 4, he's giving us very practical steps about what it means to fully follow Christ in everything. And we looked at last week how he said you need to take off that old nature. You need to, like clothes that are dirty and soiled, you need to put those away. Not to be picked back up again, but instead put off. And that's because, and Paul loves to use the metaphor for clothing, because it really does tell a lot about a person. What they wear really does tell a lot about who they are. And kind of how they look at life. I'm sure if you were a trained psychologist, you could probably really nail somebody down based on the clothes that they wear, because our clothing is quite an expression of who we are. And for some people, it's like a job, right? A police officer wears a police uniform. We understand that. A firefighter has a certain uniform that they have to wear for protection and the purposes of running into the fires. There are certain places, pastors have to wear a certain type of clothing, or priests or something like that. We know what those people should look at. And I started thinking, like, what would it be like if we were driving down the road, speeding, because we do, especially here in Michigan. I was doing 80 on 94 yesterday and just getting past like I was standing still. It was, what's happening out there? Where's the fire? I started feeling bad, and I'm like, I can't go any faster than this. It's dangerous. All right, sorry. So we're speeding down the road. Blue and red lights come on, as they do. You pull over. You're, nervous because you know what's about to happen. This isn't your first rodeo. And up walks to the car is a guy in a pink money suit. You'd be like, what's happening right now? And they say, oh, license registration. You'd be like, I don't think so. Which, you go back and put the regular clothes back on. Show you're official. Or if you were, heaven forbid, your house ever caught on fire, firefighters show up and they're wearing swim trunks and tank tops. You'd be like, I mean, I get it. You guys play with water, but it's dangerous in there. The clothes that we have on really do matter, and they say something about our identity. And so what Paul is going to do here in these next verses that we're looking at, which is 12 through 17, he's going to tell us what we as Christ followers need to put on. Because as silly as it is for a police officer to bounce out of a police car in a pink bunny costume, it should be just as outrageous for a Christ follower who lives just like the world. We should look different. We should act different. That is just as critical, if not actually more critical. And yet, so many Christians, sadly, look a lot like the world. And Paul is going to address exactly how we should look, because it's how Christ has called us to look. And so we looked at verses 1-11. We've put off the old nature. And now he's going to say, now you don't just leave that on the ground and just, you know, wander around with no clothes on. I made that very clear a couple weeks ago. It's not okay. It's okay. I had to talk to my sister after sermon last night. So I'm sorry. Sorry I called you out like that. Anybody else? She wears clothes all the time, just so that we're clear. If you're visiting with us, it's her children. She's got small children. They're often naked. Okay, I should realize not everybody's here every week. Everybody was just going, Wow. All right, stick to the notes, Seth. Stick to the notes. Paul's saying we should move from removal to replacement. We have to put something new on. In fact, Christianity is not only about taking off sinful behavior. It is about putting on Christ-like character. That is what we should be looking for. That is what we should be doing. You don't just empty your closet of your old nature. You replace that wardrobe with a new life that is in Christ. And so Paul is going to tell us here what new life looks like when it's worn daily. And that's so important. Our life in Christ needs to be worn every day. It is who we are. And listen, I know it's hard every day to do anything, but when your identity is in Christ, it's just like breathing. You wake up every day and you're still breathing. If you are in Christ, you should be in Christ with that same intensity, that same thought process that we're just going to keep moving forward. And so Paul jumps in verse 12 in Colossians chapter 3. Join with me. If you don't have a copy of God's word, they're in the chairs in front of you. You're welcome to take one. We would love to just give that to you. But they'll also have the words on the screen. I read for the New Living Translation right now. Paul says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So Paul here in verse 12 begins with that identity that God chose you. And that could be a bit of a scary sentence, but hang with me for a minute. That really echoes Old Testament language, right? If you think about books like the Deuteronomy chapter 7, God tells Israel that they were chosen. Not because they were super special, not because they were great, but because he was. And because of his love, they were chosen. And so Paul now applies that same language to the church in Colossae, the church today, to a small group of people that were new believers that were surrounded by paganism and mysticism and all the pressures of the world. He says, you are chosen. You were chosen. And you are holy. And best of all, you are loved. So before Paul tells them how they need to live, before he starts giving them a list of things to do, he wants to remind them who they are. Because that's the most important thing for all of us. We act in a manner in which we believe that we are. So he wants them to recognize that they are loved by God, chosen by him. So why does he start that way? Because behavior really follows and flows out of our belonging to something. We act a certain way when we are a part of something. However it is, and in your life, however long it's been, you know that when you get to be part of a certain group, you act a certain way. It's why it's so important to be part of any type of community. You kind of find the way it goes. And Paul wants them to know that you are part of Christ, and so your behavior needs to follow that same truth. And it's always important for us to be reminded of that, that we are chosen and that we are loved and that we are Christ's, because we forget it. And there's so many other influences that are constantly screaming at us that we are something else, so that we aren't enough of something else. And God and Paul through God wants to remind us that we are enough. We are loved and worthy. That is so good. So notice what he says that we need to put on the list, right? He Paul loves clothes. He loves to talk about putting on clothes. And so he's using this illustration, just like we would all get ready for the day, we need to put on a certain amount of things. Now, I don't know about you. I have to have a very, very tight regimen for the things that I am going to take with me in the day. Otherwise, I will forget it. It doesn't matter what it is. And I'm so thankful I have a wife that I can text and go, could you bring me this? Because if it's out of place, I have a spot on my dresser that everything goes. And if it's not in that pile, I don't think about it at all until I need it. And I go, oh. We have to be ready. We have to prepare. In order for me to have that, I have to make sure before I go to bed that all of these things are going to be right there. Because if I don't, if I get lax on it, I'm going to forget it. And Paul, in the same way, is reminding us of the things that we need to put on every day. Right? Look at it. We need to put on tenderhearted mercy. We need to put on kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. These are things that you have to tell yourself every day to put on. Now, why would that be the case? Because naturally, we don't want to put these things on. Naturally, we act complete opposite to all of these things. This is an intentional list, which is why he specifically called them out. And when we don't think of this, just like when I'm rushed to get out the door and I don't have all my stuff in the normal spot, we will forget it. We will act according to our old nature instead of that new nature that is thriving inside of us. And this list reflects the very character that is Jesus Christ. Think about how Jesus interacted with those who were broken. Think about how Jesus acted with those who were weak, those who were sinners, and even with his own disciples. He showed them all of these things. He showed them the tenderhearted mercy and kindness. He was humble, even though he had all the right in the world to stand up and go, listen, I'm God, please do what I say or I'm going to blast you off this planet. He didn't do that. He was humble. He was gentle and he was patient. Thank goodness for God's patience. These are all of the characteristics of Christ, and we must put those same things on if we are to call ourselves Christ followers. This is not a personality preference. It's not based on all of those things. This is a spirit-produced character that we need to walk in line with. So it begs the question, what are you known for? We need to ask ourselves that every day. What am I known for? Right? You get to maybe sometimes in the office, you get to 3 o'clock and you stop and you say, what am I known for today? And you go, whoo. You got to start going back to all the people you talk to and repenting. Really sorry. I was in a bad way. I didn't have breakfast. You know, whatever the reason was. But it's important for us to take stock and to ask that question, what am I known for? It's not about what you post, right, on social media, if that's what you do. It's not about what you claim or what you talk about. None of that matters. It's how are you known? When people experience you, when people experience me, do they experience Christ-like compassion? Do they see these traits lived out in my life, in your life? Because your new self should be visible to the world. It should be easily recognizable. People should say, especially if you came to Christ and have known these people all along, they should be able to say something is different in you. But even if you've known Christ for a really long time and they meet you, there should be something markedly different about you in the way that you treat them, that they should take notice. Those especially who don't know Christ should take notice. And so from verse 12, where Paul is telling us who our identity is, as he moves into verse 13, he's moving from inner values to relational realities. What does it look like in my day-to-day life with the people that are around me? Because it's one thing to wear kindness in theory, to wear all of these traits in theory, to think about them. It's another thing to display these things when you're wounded, when you're hurt. Because in this life, with the relationships that we have, we are going to get hurt. We are going to be let down. We are going to be at odds with people. And so Paul quickly moves into that in like a test to our new self of how we need to evaluate the way that we respond to other people when things come against us. And so he starts with the thing that is probably the hardest for all of us in verse 13, forgiveness. So look with me in chapter 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That term, make allowance, in the New Living, a lot of times in some of your translations, it might seem to bear with. That idea of bearing with someone really is to endure their weakness without giving up on them or without walking away, right? To truly bear with or to make allowance with someone means that you love them despite the bad decision that they've made or the hurt that they have conducted against you. The church in Colossae certainly was not perfect. Neither are we, right? As good a church as this is, and I hope if you're visiting with us today, you recognize that we're pretty good folk around here. Try to be. We're not perfect, though. We're going to disappoint you. We're going to maybe let you down. There might be some misunderstandings. In fact, in some points, we might even irritate you. But for all of us, this new self, we understand that perfection is not actually going to happen. We're just striving towards it, right? And we do that by extending forgiveness when others wouldn't. And we do it because we have received forgiveness. And that motivation is so unique, right? Paul says, remember, like, forgive others because the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness always flows from the cross. Paul's theology was shaped by Christ's substitutional sacrifice for him and for all of us. The forgiven now are called to become forgivers. And imagine if you were standing at the foot of the cross watching what Christ went through on our behalf. Imagine that. When you see it, when you picture it in your mind, it becomes impossible to justify unforgiveness towards someone else. Because you're never going to be asked to forgive someone of something greater than what you have already been forgiven by Jesus. The total of your debt towards God, the total of your debt that was forgiven by Jesus Christ the person that you are upset with the most right now pales in comparison to the debt that has already been forgiven you. We must remember that. And that should lead us towards the ability to forgive others, no matter what they've done, because you have already been forgiven. And so take a minute. Is there someone in your life right now that you're holding at an arm's length because of unforgiveness? And hear me, forgiveness isn't pretending like that wrong didn't hurt. It did. It does. But what it is, it means choosing to not demand repayment for that wrong. It did hurt, but yet forgiveness is saying, it's okay. I forgive you. This new wardrobe that we put on is first wrapped in forgiveness. And it includes grace. And that's often very, very hard for us to put on. That grace that God has given us. And showing forgiveness. And so Paul takes it a step further in verse 14 and he shows us how to do that. He says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So in the ancient world, a belt was very, very important. It kind of tied the whole garment together and kept it all cinched. not unlike a lot of belts that are being worn today. This belt right here, I need it, and it's very important. If I didn't have it, it would be really awkward. The belt holds, it binds things together. It keeps the garment on your body. Love is our belt. It is that binding force that holds it all together. Because without love, mercy really turns into condescension. And kindness becomes performance-based. And humility really looks a lot more like self-righteousness. You have to have love tied with all of these things. Love holds it all together. And this really echoes what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, without love, everything else is noise. So have love. Love is not sentimental. It is sacrificial commitment to another's good. So be committed to that. And know that a lot of times you're not going to feel like being loving, because especially when somebody hurts you, the last thing you want to do is love them. You want to keep them at an arm's distance. You want to just leave and go somewhere else. We have to choose love, especially amongst the body of believers. We have to choose love. And that's not all. Paul identifies two more things here in verse 15 that the Christ follower must choose to wear in his or her life. He says, and let peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. The word rule here is actually an athletic term. It's like an umpire in baseball. They make the determination whether it's a ball is a pitch is a ball or a strike. And you can argue it, but at the end of the day, that's the determination. So we need to understand that the peace that comes from Christ's rule in us, it is the determining factor, that we may not always like it, but it is the truth. That's what we're supposed to have, is peace. Christ's peace makes the call for how we should live amongst other believers in peace. We shouldn't be seeking constant disunity and constantly demanding our own ways. And what that means is that we have to put aside our emotions. We have to put aside our pride. And we even have to put away our anxieties that tell us that if we don't push ourselves to the front, we're going to be left behind. These things here, this emotions, the pride, the anxiety, these are the natural rulers of our old self. And they're going to jump on you all the time. You're going to worry about stuff. You're going to be prideful because you want your way. Paul says you have to put those things off and choose to put peace on. And remember, peace isn't the absence of conflict, right? It's not this we're all running around with rose-colored glasses and dancing in meadows and having just a great time. Sometimes having peace takes its work, right? It's the presence of Christ's authority in your heart that pushes us towards peace despite the conflict, despite the differences. And then from that, we have to understand that gratitude fuels our peace. When we are thankful for things, it is a lot harder to be upset with somebody. A thankful heart cannot simultaneously nurture bitterness. It doesn't work. It's not possible. And Paul says that under this assumption of gratitude, that we will be filled with Christ, which puts away all bitterness. Look with me in verse 16. I'm going to use the CSV version here. He says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you. Literally, when you translate it, it says, let it dwell in you richly. The Colossians were being tempted to experience and use these mystical experiences or this hidden knowledge of Christ that was only allowed for the few. They were being tempted by all of these things. And Paul's saying, you don't need any of that. You just need the word of Christ to saturate your life. That is enough. And when you do, it's going to teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. We're going to be able to teach and counsel each other in his wisdom. And the outpouring of that is going to be singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. That teaching and counseling, listen, the world is going to counsel you and try to teach you in ways that the world knows. But we have to be rooted in Scripture so that we know what is wise. And then when we do, that's going to produce a singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And aren't you glad for that? I'll tell you this. I love this verse because it keeps us with a great variety of songs, right? I love the good old hymns. I love the new stuff. And I love singing psalms. And if we were to go one way or the other on all of those, I'd be sad. And I think you would too. And I love that Paul, he puts it out there. He's like, look, there's no right one way. Okay, just relax. Is it praising me? Is it an outpouring of your heart? Then do it. Don't demand your own way here because that's not what it's about. Sorry, that was a side note, not in my notes. When the word fills the church, Christ is shaping it. Christ will be exuded from it. And we understand, we've taught our kids this forever, that whatever fills your mind is going to form your life. So fill it with God's word. Because again, there's a lot of other things out there. There's endless amounts of information that is going to try to fill your mind. And we have to be intentional about allowing the word to fill it instead. And when we do, the result will be a bursting forth of praise. So the question is, we all have to continually ask is, are we being shaped more by the culture or by Christ? Are we being shaped by the people around us or the word of God? We can only, listen, I can't answer that for you. Your neighbor can't answer that for you. We can help point you in the right direction, but you are the determining factor of that. Who is influencing you? Paul finishes in verse 17 with, and whatever you say or do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the umbrella over all of it. Every time I read this verse, I think back to my high school track days and Coach Sieber. Every time we went to a track meet, he would stand up and he was a giant, giant man, Texan through and through. And he'd look at us and he'd put his hand on the seat and he'd go, now you boys listen to me right now. All right, we're about to go out there. We're going to compete. We're going to give it our all. But you need to remember this. You are representing your mama, your daddy, and the Magnolia Bulldogs. Don't let any of us down. And then he'd say, all right, and go to, and I remember, like, I love that every time. I don't know why. I remember sitting next to people, and they were like, oh, just let us off the bus. But, like, that meant something. Because a lot of times we don't realize that the things that we do are a reflection of who we are and the people that came behind us or went before us. We have to be a reflection of Christ in all that we say or do. You are representing him when you go. That's exactly what Paul's saying in just a little less Texas slang. He says, whatever you do, whatever you say, you are Christ's representatives. Everywhere. There's not a except for the locker room, except for your office cubicle, except for your school room. What? No, it's not that. Everywhere you go, you are a representative of Christ. It's so important. The new self is not just a Sunday garment. The new self is daily clothing in all of the places that we find ourselves. Wherever you are Christ's ambassador. You are his representative. And if you have been raised with Christ in new life, then dress like that. And if you've not met Christ as your Savior, then I would implore you to take that first step, to come to know him as Savior, to bow your knee and bow your old life and your old nature that you know has been constantly just letting you down. And give your life to Christ because he wants to show you what better life is, what real life is. You are chosen, you are holy, and you are loved. So put on all the characteristics of Christ, and above all, put on love. Let peace rule your life. Let the word dwell within you richly, and let gratitude overflow from your lips. Here's what I want you to do this week. Every week, I give you three different things: head, heart, and hands, next steps, things for you to do from this passage of Scripture. So we start in our head, the things that we need to know, the things that we need to think upon. I want you this week to read over Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. Read through that over and over again, and let your identity be anchored in your obedience to Him. In your heart, what's the thing that you need to feel, the passion that is building up inside of you, that new self that's flowing from the gratitude and peace, allow that to be your heart's desire this week, and spend time thanking the Lord specifically for what He has done in your life. Because if we don't spend time growing a passion within us, we're not going to do anything. It's not going to be real. It's not going to be transformed living. It's just going to be checking off boxes of how we're supposed to live. So the heart is so important. Gratitude fuels our transformation. And then finally, with your hands, what I need you to do, what you need to do this week, is to choose one relationship where you will consciously put on one specific virtue from this passage. Perhaps in a relationship that you have struggled to show forgiveness, that you have struggled to live in peace and unity with. Be intentional and visible in it. If you are a Christ follower, people are watching you. And wherever you go and whatever you do, they are paying attention. So live like Christ. Be like Him in all your ways. Let me pray for us this week. Father, we thank You that You have given us such a great model. God, that You went before us and You exhibited all of these qualities. Even though if anyone ever didn't need to, it would be You. But God, You chose to humble Yourself and to show us what love really is, to show us what forgiveness means. And we are thankful for that. Lord, as we go our separate ways this week, Father, I pray that we would put on the new clothing in Christ, that we would be the proper ambassadors to a world around us so that they might see in us You, and that they might come to know You. God, we trust You, we love You, and we are so thankful for You. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.